Marga, doesn't come on yet.
Evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Is it just you, Hannah?
No, Malka's on.
Okay. So we can start.
Okay, let me mute. I'm going to send you an editing question when the class is over.
Okay. Hashem Yuchim Kutshav Rishim Vikshin Tevi Kiluur Himu Kilu Kiluur Himu Leyakka L'Shem Yud Hei Bovavte V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah V'Asok Torah Mitzvah V'Yihino Am Adonai Elohino Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Ponenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Ponenehu. This is an advanced reincarnation class. It's class number 28 on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left. And the section that we're starting with is chapter 28, section 2. The title is The Root of Rabbi Akiva's Soul. And this is the second time we're going over this section. As there was a lot of information 2 or 3 weeks ago when we did it. You should know that all the souls mentioned, like that of Rabbi Akiva and others like him, are from the root of Cain, which is from Givurot of Hod, of Dat. The fifth Givurah, it really should say the fifth Sephirah. Also, all the souls from Givurot of Hod in the Dat of Leah are related to the root of Rabbi Akiva. They are considered one root. You can draw a parallel from this to the root of Abel, which is from the Chasadim of Dat. This is the issue of the Cain root, and from it you can extrapolate and apply it to the Abel root. The choice's special ones fell further down than all of the rest. All the sparks of souls from the Cain root were dependent upon Cain. When he sinned, all of them became mixed in the Klipot. The choicest special ones fell further down than all of the rest, because the sin of Cain blemished the level of Machshava Elyona, the supernal thought, as mentioned in the Sefer HaTikkunim in Tikkun 69. The place of the soul root, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, was the hands, in the secret of, and his hand was holding the heel of Esau. So we're studying the Tikkuni Zohar, which is referred here as the Sefer HaTikkunim. We're in Tikkun 22. And have been for probably the last 10 classes, maybe even 15. So it'll be a while till we get to Tikkun 69. This idea that the Cain root is dependent upon Cain means that every soul that was in the soul of Cain when he was incarnated as Cain, every soul participated in the sin of Cain. And what was the, in this case, it's saying that Rabbi Akiva was from the hands, dealing with manifestation, because all hands deal with manifestation. So Rabbi Akiva was participating in the killing of Abel. The hands were manifesting that death, God forbid. Now, Rabbi Akiva having to die as one of the 10 martyrs, having his skin flayed off, as we've discussed many times, does that indicate a relationship to the hands? The answer is yes, it does, but how it does is something that one needs to think about. How does the flaying of the skin of another incarnation, how does that relate to the tikkun of murder? I'm going to continue. This verse is said about Jacob.
May I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Or would you rather? Well, if that was so, would he have not even been the hands of Adam? Just one generation before? In other words, being part of the one who would take the fruit with his hand and bring it to the mouth of Adam.
No. The answer is the logic of your statement is correct. But what we have learned from the study of the reincarnation is that Cain and Abel represent the left shoulder and the right shoulder of Adam. Now, to some people, the left shoulder and the right shoulder includes the hands, includes the arms and so forth. For others, it would say, no, it's just the shoulder is the part of the body. The arm is a different part of the body. When we look at the Tikkun HaNefesh chart, we're taught that Chesed is the right arm, and the Gevurah is the left arm. But we don't mention the shoulders at all in the Tikkun HaNefesh chart. We learn that Adam, Cain, and Abel are considered mutually one root. So that when we talk about Cain being the left shoulder, we're visualizing a human being structure, the 10 sephirot structure within the shoulder. It's not clear in that I have never heard it from a teacher or read it specifically. How does that structure fit to the shoulder as the part of the body? Does it include the arm or not? And I don't have an answer to that. I've never been given an answer to it. I've asked a similar question. But if Cain is the left shoulder and it doesn't include the hand, then there is another root of souls that are coming from the hand of Adam. I'm not sure, but I hope my answer was clear. Yes.
I thought I read somewhere that the structure of the shoulders from Adam, Cain, and Abel, and the Bible says we're made in the image of us. I thought I read that the shoulders is where the wing structure of the angelical angels are. I think it pertains to the structure of the wings, part of the spiritual body.
The ring structure, the wing structure of this of an angel, there are six wings. Two
right.
of them reach around and cover the leg. Two of them reach around and cover the body. And two of them reach around and cover the head. Now, does that come from the shoulder blades, so to speak, using a human metaphor? Do all six come from the shoulder blades, or are there three separate locations? I've never asked the question, never got an answer. But you are correct. The angel's wings do come from the shoulder blade area for those who are going, the wings that are going to cover the body. Whether that's all six wings, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But our shoulder blades are in the back. And when we say the shoulders, we don't think of the back. We don't think of the shoulder blades. We think of
the part that
moves out from the neck is what we think of, the collarbone, so to speak. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Linda. Go ahead.
No. I thought you were trying to get to the word top of the shoulder, you know, and you say collarbone, which would be the same reference, or similar, I should say. The top part of the arm.
At one time, I bought a book of anatomy to try and reconcile the concept of 248 parts of the body. And I was never successful in having the time or the inclination to actually do it. But I had the thought. So one day in my next 300-year lifetime, we'll try and accomplish that. I know you don't know if I'm joking or not. So let us continue reading.
Okay, I'm going to read it.
Okay. This verse is said about Jacob. Akiva shares the same letters of the name Jacob. For he came from him. Rabbi Akiva came from Jacob, is the way I would interpret that. Therefore, he was an outstanding in Torah, which is a quality of Jacob. This is a comment because it's not in bold. It's a comment by the translator. Now, Jacob is coming from the central column. Rabbi Akiva is coming, or Cain is coming from the left column. So was he the hands of Jacob, and therefore the left column of the central column? How do we understand that? You need to have the full line of souls and be clear on what they are, which to my knowledge the only person who really was the Ari, and his teachings to Rabbi Chaim were not complete, as we've heard Rabbi Chaim Vital say repeatedly my teacher said, but I don't remember this particular detail. So it's all part of that same issue, which means that we need to, somebody will have the responsibility of clarifying that in the study of Torah. Continuing to read. The hands have the ability to go down as far as the heel or as high up as the head, unlike the rest of the limbs. Therefore, these limbs fell to the depths of the klipot until the heel. When Rabbi Akiva was killed, he ascended to the Machshava Elyonah. He rose to the supernal thought level. The adage, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, applies to the souls when they fall to the klipot. Because they are greater light, they fall into the deeper levels. When the lights of Chesed fell, because that was the first vessel that broke, the sparks that were concealed or fulfilled the vessel of Chesed, those sparks fell the furthest. Bina was damaged in this area, in the world of the breaking of the vessels. Bina was damaged, but it didn't all fall. Whereas Chesed, it broke. All of the six Sefirot of Zerantin broke. Some more. And the furthest ones that fell are the Chesed. At least that's my understanding of what we have been taught. Continuing. This is the secret of what Hashem told Moses. When Moses saw a vision of the death of Rabbi Akiva, Hashem said, quiet. This is what arose in Machshava, in thought. That is to fix the defect. So we find that all souls that are from the hand, through good deeds, are able to ascend to a very high level without limit, more than many other people who preceded them from earlier generations. Remember this. Furthermore, even if a soul from the root of Cain comes into the world for the first time as a new soul, still he must rectify the blemish that occurred to his nefesh, his ruach, and his neshama from the sin of Cain on the level of the portion of the root of which he is part. Remember, the meaning of a new soul is not what comes out of the New Age teachings. A new soul was a soul that was part of Adam that chose to leave Adam before the sin. A new soul has a gestation period of 12 months, or up to 12 months. But that soul still has a tikkun. Even though they chose to leave Adam before the sin, they have a tikkun for not stopping the sin of Adam, not arguing and fighting and not activating their body part to create that action. That's the definition of a new soul. Continuing. Earlier, we explained how positive and negative mitzvot are dependent upon the 248 limbs of Adam's soul, and how every limb includes flesh, tendons, and bones. The bones, the highest level, are on the level of the moach, the bone marrow within them, and not on that of the bones themselves. The tendons tie together all the limbs, making them a single unit. The next level down is the tendons, since a person's life force runs through them, the blood moving through the arteries of the body. They also tie together all the limbs, making them a single unit. The least of the three levels is the flesh. On all three levels, flesh, tendons, and bones, there are souls which are considered to be the root of that level. They are the Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah scholars, the Ba'alei Batim, the householders, and the Ba'alei Ma'aseh, the doers of good deeds, and Amei Ha'aretz, the simpletons, the uneducated, the ignorant. And this is true of all three levels in every limb. There are long limbs, like the arms and thighs, within which there are large gaps between the soles. However, Talmidei Chachamim from the shoulder limb and the like are very closely knit. And that is the end of the section. Are there any questions?
I'm wondering what the householders are. The householders, the Ba'alei Batim. I mean, Torah scholars, doers of good deeds, simpletons, I understand those, but not so sure what householders mean.
Those who study Torah are the Talmidim. They're the students of Torah. The doers of good deeds are the people who go to the minyans three times a day. The people of good deeds are the people who give charity. The people of good deeds are the people who do all of the mitzvot.
Mm-hmm.
And the householders are people in the central column that have aspects of both. They study Torah, but not at the deepest levels. And they do good deeds, but not as much as they probably could. But they're doing both.
Okay.
Now, you know, we have these machlokets over what's more important, to study Torah or to do the mitzvah. And the sages go through this very deep analysis in arriving at the idea that the good deeds are less important because studying Torah will cause you to do the good deeds. But in reality, there are many people who don't feel the connection to prayer, but they feel the connection to giving charity, or they feel the connection to helping little old ladies across the street. Everybody has a different tikkun, and that's all this categorization is helping us try and understand that. But it's saying that the soul, each soul has aspects of all three. Is it clear?
Yes,
Chapter 29, Section 1. The effects of the sin on Cain. As it is known, had Adam, who was created on day 6, waited until Shabbat evening to procreate with Eve, the world would have become rectified. However, since he did not wait, Cain was born with a mixture of good and evil, as will be explained. Furthermore, had Cain, the firstborn, not sinned, then he and his twin sister would have been like Hophbah and Bina, and Abel and his twin sister like Tiferet and Malchut. My commentary. The Zohar and the Talmud teach that 2 lay down and 7 got up. And this is Adam and Eve, the 2 who lay down. Then Eve bore Cain and his twin sister, and Abel and his 2 twin sisters. This is the 7 who got up. Thus, Abel started lower than Cain and was capable of growing spiritually to the level of Cain through the motivations of his 2 helpmates. Cain did not understand this and allowed his evil inclination to overpower him. Since I wrote that, I had a different opinion in that the 2 twin sisters that Abel was born with, one of them was the potential soulmate of Cain, because Cain had the potential to grow even higher. And just like Jacob had the ability to grow to 2 levels, that of Jacob spiritually growing and then becoming Israel, represented by Leah and Rachel, the 2 helpmates of Jacob, Cain was also capable of growing from the left shoulder of Adam and becoming the central column of Adam. So the 2nd twin sister was born to Abel, not as Abel's true soulmate, but as Cain's true soulmate, if he had grown spiritually. But if he did not grow spiritually, then she was to marry Abel, because every woman is promised the right person for that lifetime. If their soulmate doesn't grow sufficiently to enable for them to meet their soulmate and to become married to their soulmate, they are promised to have a soulmate for this lifetime, as we have discussed from time to time. So I hope my verbal change is clear, and I will continue. Originally, there was no negative energy within man. It was only outside of him. Its vehicle was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam's job was to rectify it, and he was to do this by refraining from partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, until Shabbat. Hand in hand with this is that he was also to wait to cohabit, to be intimate with Eve until Shabbat. Shabbat is the day of all good and all perfection. A great light shines on it that subjugates all negativity and augments shining revelation, the Zohar. Just because, or just waiting for the Shabbat process to take effect, was all that was necessary to perfect the universe. Because they didn't wait, reality has to take a small 6 millennium detour. In truth, 6,000 years is still as nothing compared to eternity. The bliss to come when everything reaches completion will be forever. And we have discussed that there are potentially 7,000 year periods. And what we're reading here is the commentary by the translator. Continuing, we see how important the quality of patience is. One who examines his life will see that a great part of the tests involve waiting. Growing up in a society that bombards the mind with constant messages that life is about instant gratification may make it hard to implement this. One can reflect on the lesson of this teaching to help. According to how well a person masters his desire for instant gratification, he fixes a major part of his portion in the original sin. My commentary. There are many people who also have the opposite tikkun. They need to act quickly without waiting, as this is an aspect of patience as well. Cain was born first, so most of the negativity injected into Eve from eating from the tree came out in him. This is a statement from the Zohar. This produced his murderous tendencies, among other things. Had Cain not sinned, he would have assumed the full spiritual stature that his soul was rooted in. Cain and his mate embodied Chochmah and Binah. After he defected, these levels did not fully express in him. The name Cain, or Cain in Hebrew, is related to the word kinah, jealousy. He was jealous of Abel. One of the things he was jealous of was that Abel was given an extra wife, according to the Midrash. From here we see that Cain and his wife were an expression of Chochmah and Binah. Abel and his mate were from Zeron Pin, and who with his two wives, Rachel and Leah. Therefore, Abel had two. Chochmah and Binah are much higher than Zeron Pin, and both its feminine aspects. Often one sees what someone else has and desires it, without realizing that they have something much greater. These levels are intrinsically above the world as we know it, which in turn primarily from the able aspects of Zeron Pin and Nukva. Providence wants the universe to ascend and assume these higher aspects. However, once he killed Abel, it was not possible anymore for this to happen right away. First, Chet had to be born, the one to assume and revive the Abel aspect. Cain had to wander. This is the beginning of the tikkun. This entire Sha'ar HaGilgulim is focused on the Cain tikkun, how to bring the super energies into fruition in this world. Later in history, Esau and Jacob were like Cain and Abel. Had Esau been righteous, he would have surpassed Jacob, because the firstborn is from Chochmah, and Jacob, who was born after, is from Tiferet. However, since Esau sinned, the right of the firstborn was taken from him, and Jacob received a double portion, his own and that of his brother. Therefore, in his aspect of Jacob, he corresponds to Tiferet, whereas in his aspect of Israel, he corresponds to Chochmah. And this is the meaning of Isaac loved Esau, for his trappings were in his mouth. He understood Esau's phenomenal potential and wanted to bring it out. Trappings refer to the wealth of super-energized sparks that he saw lying in the Esau root. They are as if trapped in the hands of the Sitra Achra, and they need to be retrapped. This is the secret of why Isaac wanted to give the blessings to Esau. He hoped through the power of the blessings to magnetize the sparks to his side of holiness. God saw that that was not going to happen. He therefore influenced Rebekah to prompt Jacob to take the blessings. Everything below is as above, according to the Zohar and the actual practicality. Root themes above were programmed into reality in the creation process in order that they should play out in man below. Before the order of this universe came out, there was the world of Tohu, of chaos, so-called because of the chaotic state prevalent there. Too much light was poured into the vessels and they shattered. The lights departed and flew above. The shards fell down, and from them came the Sitra Achra. Immediately a repair process started. The lights were toned down and drawn into the vessels. And this became the world of Tikkun, of rectification. Cain and Abel are embodiment of Tohu and Tikkun. The world endures in the Tikkun, in the Abel mode, but it was not meant to stay this way. Providence directs things in such a way to eventually bring the superior Cain energy out. A major step in the process comes out through Jacob, which is Abel, which is dealing with the Tikkun, and Esau, which is Cain, dealing with Tohu, chaos. This is the idea here behind Esau being greater than Jacob. In the words of Rabbi Avigdor Miller, if Esau had done teshuvah, we would be saying the Lord of Esau in the Amidah prayer. As said, because Adam sinned on Friday, the snake was able to impart tsuhama, spiritual contamination, to Eve, and this resulted in Cain and Abel being born with good and evil combined within them. However, there was a difference between them. Cain was mostly evil, whereas Abel was mostly good. This means that the nefesh, the ruach, and neshama of Cain was from Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya of holiness, and that these three became mixed together with the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of the klipot. However, Abel, although like Cain in that his nefesh, ruach, and neshama was also from Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya of holiness, only his nefesh and ruach became intermingled with the klipot, Thus his neshama remained completely good, without a trace of evil. This is what it means to be mostly good and partially evil. The three components of both sides are not equal. In the case of Cain, all three on both sides were mixed together. At this point, we will no longer discuss Cain's Gilgulim, and we will instead explain the Gilgulim of Abel, his brother. Do you want to continue with the incarnations of Abel, which is the next section 2a of chapter 29? Or do you want to kind of absorb what you've read or heard about Cain?
I think I'd rather stay with Cain for right now.
There's a lot of information there, you know, we have that before.
But it was more understandable this time. Also, the book that was mentioned, let me see, what was it, Sefer HaTikkunim? I think when we read it the first time, I couldn't remember where, but anyway, you said you thought it was from the Sefer, the Tikkuni Zohar. And I told you I had the book and I would look. Okay, well, I found my book, but I couldn't remember what the verse was and which handout it was from. So do you still want me to look up during this time or, you know, after the class, now that I know that it's in this handout? I think it was 69.
It's in Tikkun 69. I don't have the need for that to happen because I'm practicing patience. When we get there in the Tikkun, it'll be clear. But that's me. Doesn't mean that you need to do it. Everybody's got their own Tikkun.
The thing is, I don't have the time, but you know my curiosity is going to get me after a while. So when I see that I need this time to go sit, I'll probably look up verse 69 and see what it is.
Understand.
And who knows, maybe curiosity goes back to the garden and that's another tikkun I'm going to do and fight the curiosity.
When you do, let me know.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions at this point?
No, it was much clearer this time.
It usually is. You know, the first time we go through some material, even the second or third time, but it gets clearer each time. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lot of dates here.
Yes, we've been through this a few times.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't realize we'd gone through chapter 1 last night of the Korach, section 1 of Korach. So last night was the third time we've gone through it, and I thought it was much more expansive in our understanding.
Well, it was good. I mean, I had dates back to 2014, so it had been a long time since we'd, you know, gone over it. But I thought we were on at the end because I didn't have those copies. But you never know. I could have been too busy to copy it, you know. But I thought we were at the end. So I'm going to reread those because evidently I don't remember anything. But anyway, I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You all have a good evening, a Shavua Tov, a good week. And remember about Wednesday night is Rosh Chodesh, And Tuesday is a solar eclipse, which is an indication that the children of Israel are in the ascendance.
That's good. Okay.
Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.